We are beginning a short three-part series since it's November and Thanksgiving is coming up. We're beginning this short three-part series called Blessed. In this series, we're going to go through some things that are very real blessings, look at some very real blessings, but different than what most think of when we think of blessings. Many people would say, I was blessed. I was blessed. And what they're saying is, I was blessed with a newer car. I was blessed with a higher paying job. God blessed me with a wonderful family. God blessed me with a great spouse. God has blessed me with just the other day with a great parking spot at the mall right up front where I just could walk right in. God has blessed me. And that is often how we talk about blessings. In this series, we're looking at different blessings that are very different from what we might consider real blessings. And people don't always recognize them as blessings. Right now, I'm guessing that there are many of you where there is something significant that is bothering you. You look at something in the world, and everything in you wants to cry out, that's just not right. That's not fair. You're bothered deeply by something, maybe regarding an issue related to a group of people or a matter of concern that burdens your heart. For some of you, it might keep you up at night and might cause you to agonize in prayer over. It might one moment cause you to just be completely bothered and troubled. You're divinely unsettled. It messes you with your mind. It makes you miserable in a good sort of way. It stirs up what you maybe don't often want to actually feel, but it stirs something inside you. If that's you, you know what I'm talking about right now. And I want you to see this not as a curse, but instead as a blessing. This burden as a blessing. If that's you, God has blessed you with a burden. God has given you a divine burden that reflects His heart. It reflects His character. It reflects His nature. I've heard it called a holy discontent. How many of you know the old cartoon character, Popeye? Popeye the Sailor Man. Well, I grew up watching Popeye. And any of you know what's Popeye's good-looking babe's name? What? Olive Oil, exactly. She's a hottie. Well, whenever the bad guy Brutus would show up and maybe make a move on Olive Oil, there would come a point to every time when Popeye would just draw a line in the sand. And he would say his famous line.
That's all I can stand. I can't stand no more.
That's all I can stand. I can't stand it no more. And then he'd rip off the top of the lid of his spinach can and throw it up and catch it. And then boom, boom, boom. He'd just tear Brutus apart. But he would have that moment where he says, that's it. No more. I'm done. I'm finished. You've pushed me too far. That's all I can stand. I can't stand it no more. I pray that God will bless you with such a big burden for something that maybe is wrong in the world. God wants to use to make it right. That you have a holy Popeye moment where you just say, that's it. That's it. I've had enough. I can't stand it no more. Surely, there are matters that are breaking the heart of God. And it's time to do something about this burden. Here's what we're going to do today. We're going to look at three questions that may help you define your divine burden. And then we're going to look at the way I believe that God wants to embrace the blessing of his burden. Three questions. The first question we're going to wrestle with, ask is, what is it that breaks your heart? What is it that breaks your heart? What is it that when you see a certain group of people hurting or a certain thing going on in the world where your heart wells up and it becomes heavy and sad and you're moved with emotion because you're looking at something and you're saying, that's just not right. This isn't fair. This is a great, there's a great example of this in the Old Testament, where Nehemiah is 1,000 miles away in Persia from Jerusalem. The Hebrew people are there, the people in Jerusalem, his people, and the Babylonians had brought them captive, and they had destroyed the temple, they had destroyed the walls, and the city lay in ruins. And Nehemiah, he, in chapter 3, he inquired and he asked what's going on, and the report came back. It said, Nehemiah, the walls of Jerusalem, they are broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. And now verse 4 of Nehemiah 1 shows us his response. When I heard these things, Scripture says, he sat down. He couldn't even stand up. He couldn't remain standing. He just broke down like a baby and wept. For some days, now check this out, not for just 5 minutes, not for just a moment, but for some days, the Bible says, he mourned, he fasted, and he prayed before the God of heaven. What did this do? This news broke his heart. And it wasn't just like, oh, dude, that's sad. I'm really sorry for the people back home. What's happening there? It was like, no. It's like, oh my gosh, I can't eat. I've got to seek God. I've got to pray. I've got to keep on praying. This just isn't right. God blessed him with a burden. Who was it that God used then to do what others said couldn't be done? It was Nehemiah. The guy with the burden was the one who returned to Jerusalem and then began to do this monumental task of rebuilding the walls around Jerusalem. And friend, we're talking about days of antiquity, not with today's technology. And miraculously, the walls were rebuilt in 52 days. God used the one with the burden. What breaks your heart? Think about it. Martin Luther King Jr., there was something that disturbed him, broke his heart. It was racism. So much so that God used him to change the course of our country. What broke his heart? How can one group of people treat another group of people so horribly simply because of the color of their skin? He said, that's not right. I have a dream. I have a dream. And his burden broke his heart until finally he said, I can't stand it. I can't stand it no more. Somebody's got to do something about this. Maybe God wants me. What is it that breaks your heart that way? Maybe it's poverty. Maybe it's homelessness. Children caught in the web of being homeless. Maybe it's a little crack babies who didn't do anything wrong except that they were born to a mother who was addicted to cocaine, and now they're severely disabled, damaged emotionally and mentally and physically. Maybe it's unwed moms, and you just look out and you see these groups and there's no guy that's helping them out. And they're working two jobs, three jobs, trying to raise these kids, and everybody's hurting, and they're just in bad shape, and your heart breaks for them. What is it? What is it that breaks your heart? The second question I want to ask you is, what is it that makes you angry? Okay, now I'm not talking pet peeves here, because we all have pet peeves. What you might just find so disturbing or frustrating, like when you go to the movie and someone takes their cell phone and answers it in the middle of the movie. Okay, that's just not right. Just isn't. And if that's you, you will answer to God for that, believe me. That's just not right. I mean, people do that in church. Some guy takes a phone call in church. I watched one person dial out in the middle of a sermon. He just got bored and called somebody. No, only joking. I haven't seen that happen. Anyway, I'm not talking about pet peeves. I'm talking about what makes you righteously angry. What makes you righteously angry? What is that? That your heart is saying, I know God is not pleased. And that your heart is saying, I know it makes God angry, therefore it makes me angry. It's a righteous anger. In the book of Exodus, Moses was a guy who was born an Israelite. He was born a Hebrew. And he was living and being raised, though, in an Egyptian home there in Egypt. And when he one day saw something so deplorable, it made him so angry. He never stopped caring about his own people, the Israelite people. And we read in Exodus 2:11, one time Moses saw an Egyptian. He was beating up on a Hebrew. And one of his own people, so he glanced one way, the Bible says, and then he glanced the other way, and he didn't see anybody, and he snapped. He killed the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. He had a Popeye moment. He said, I care so much for my people, and they're being so abused, I've got to do something about it. I can't stand it no more. Now, just for the record, I'm not telling you to go ballistic and kill and bury somebody, okay? I'm not saying that, but you can see he had a burden and he had a compassion for his people. And who did God use to later send before the Pharaoh in order to release the Israelite people? It was Moses. Moses, who cared for his people, said, Pharaoh, enough is enough. It's all I can stand. I can't stand it no more. Let my people go. What is it that you can't stand? Maybe you see different addictions and you see people bound up in sexual addiction. Or you see who are hooked on drugs and they're pushing this to teenagers and little kids. And you're like, someone's got to do something about it. This is not right. Maybe you see corruption in government and you just go, it's just not right. Can I make a difference? Our own Erica Harold was running for the position of state's attorney general. And although she received nearly 1,900,000 votes, she was not elected. But Erica positioned herself as someone who would go after public corruption, and she would be an independent check on politicians in Illinois. And it was part of her agenda as she saw matters that concerned her. In her concession speech, she said, I always wanted to communicate in a way that not only communicated my values and my political principles, but also my faith, because integrity matters in life and it matters in politics. She had a burden that she's carried for a long time, and it was a growing passion that caused her to subject herself to the cruelty of campaigning and all the ugliness that comes with it. But I'm so proud of her, for she has represented the kingdom of God wonderfully, and her life is a testimony of what it means to be a light in this dark world. She's been blessed with a burden. It's a burden of care, of righteous anger. Maybe it's when you look at the elderly that are ignored and almost forgotten and abandoned, just kind of left out to the pasture to die on their own. And you're like, someone has to do something about this. What is it that gives you a righteous anger? For Mother Teresa, when she saw the people in Ethiopia, here's what she said, I quote, "When I see waste, I feel angry on the inside." And she said, "I don't approve of myself for getting angry, but it's something you can't help after seeing the people in Ethiopia." What is it that makes you sad? What is it that brings a righteous anger? The third question I want to ask you is, what do you care about that others don't seem to care about? What is it that you look at and you go, why isn't everybody else passionate about that? Don't you see how much this matters? Why don't you care as much as I care? Because, friend, God blessed you. God blessed you with a burden that He wants you to do something about. What do you care about that no one else seems to care about? Maybe it's those who are newly saved. We got to make sure that they're being discipled. Who is it that is investing in them? Who's going to help raise them up and help them grow in the faith? Maybe it's prayer. You know how important prayer is to the kingdom of God, and you know how important prayer is to the church and to our families and individual life, and you're going to be engaged in intercessory prayer. Maybe it's marriages and families. You see hurting couples or hurting families, and you well up with care and concern. Maybe you care about making an impact in our community and building relationships. And we can't reach out to everyone in our community, but maybe I can make a difference in one child's life. And so you become a part of the Kenwood Elementary outreach that Meadowbrook's involved with, or maybe to our own children's ministry right here at Meadowbrook. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to wrestle with these questions. Pray through them. Talk about them with your small group. How would you answer? What's your blessing? What's your burden? I want you to be able to say, I'm burdened. I'm burdened by. How has God blessed you? What part of His heart and His character and His nature has He put in you? Well, you're burdened by something. I want you to be able to say, this is what I'm burdened by. This is how God has blessed me. I'm burdened by. You could ask Ken Hawthorne here at the church, what are you burdened about? What do you care about? He's demonstrated that over 25 plus years or more, he's burdened that there would be technology that was efficiently and effectively used to advance the kingdom of God and to be used in ministry. He's been involved with our video department for several years. You could ask Bob Doty what he's burdened about. He's burdened about safety. He's burdened about making sure that our children are safe and that we're all safe here at Meadowbrook so that we can worship freely. You could ask Eric and Sharon Schwalm, what are they burdened about? They're burdened about prayer, and they're in prayer meeting after prayer meeting after prayer meeting because they believe in the importance of intercessory prayer. You could ask Margaret Chambers, what are you burdened about? And what do you care about? And you would quickly hear that she has a heart for children. And for over 35 years now, she has been behind the scenes teaching and engaged in the lives of little children, loving them and teaching them about Jesus. What are you burdened by? How has God blessed you? How has he blessed you? Now, as you start to identify that, I want you to see it as a blessing and understand that God loves you so much that he's trusted you with something, some area that he wants to empower you to make a difference. But some people handle their burdens in a wrong way. People just complain about them. They just whine all day because it's everybody's fault. Nobody's doing anything. It's the government's fault. They're not doing anything to address this issue. And it's our education system's fault because they're not doing anything. If we had a better educational system. It's our church's fault because churches only care about this or that and our churches aren't making a difference. It's everybody's fault. They just complain and complain and complain and without being part of the solution, without doing something about it. Others, they just ignore their burdens. They don't want to get too close or too informed because it will bother and upset them. It's easier to put your head in the sand and just become detached than to carry the burden. Two thoughts, and we'll let the story of Isaiah then kind of take us out of our message. The first thing is, I would challenge you with everything in me to let your burden ruin you. Let it overwhelm you. Be overcome by the pain. Be emotionally broken by it. Just let it mess you up. Now, how's that for encouragement? How's that for a blessing? When you can't ignore it, you can embrace it. You have to embrace it. What you have to do is you have to expose yourself to those things and just let it mess you up. You've got to read about it, hear about it. You've got to talk to others about it. You've got to be comfortable with the discomfort that comes to your heart. Back when we were in Des Moines, Beth Kramer married Jim Blessman. And they were part of our church family there. Jim was a medical doctor who ran the pain clinic at a local hospital. He got saved, and they got married, and he was growing in his faith. Well, a couple of years later, Jim went on a short-term missions trip, and he and Beth were exposed to some of the poorest people in Africa, and it ruined him. God used those missions trips to overwhelm him with a burden and a compassion for the least of these. He couldn't escape this burden. They went back home. Jim radically quit his medical practice and began the process of ultimately becoming missionaries in the northern province of Limpopo in South Africa. The humanitarian and spiritual work they have done in that area, that has simply been amazing. He has brought many of his doctor friends there, some business owners and corporate leaders. Even the governor of Iowa has been there, burdened them with the incredible need, greater than many ever had experienced before. And now they're burdened in such a way that it's messed them up and they've become long-term partners of the ministry. And Meadowbrook is one of those partners, a burden. I'm sure that Susan Vandermolen can share the same thing about how she and Brett had a burden that just grew in their heart that was messing with them and overwhelming them that caused them to now leave their family and serve the people of Cambodia and the children of Cambodia for these last number of years. You know what my joy and burden is? With 19 years of pastoring here at Meadowbrook, I have the joy of watching a number of you who have responded to the heavy burden, to the heavy burden on your heart, and you have done something about it. You are serving. You're working in children's ministry. Burden for broken marriages, and you're serving in divorce care. Burden for people to grow in their faith, and you're teaching a class. You're leading a small group. You're mentoring a group of people. You're working with teenagers. Some of you here are an amazing example and inspiration to all of us. People I want to be like, who are so radically committed to Christ. You are serving Him humbly. You're serving Him faithfully. You're serving Him with a commitment that revolves around Christ. And you're just giving and serving and praying and being Christ in our community. And yet I carry a burden for others, that they will have a burden that will compel them into kingdom service of some kind. They will have a burden that moves them to action, to serve in some way. I know for a lot of people, their goal is to live a burden-free life. I don't want to be burdened about anything. I just want to live a life of ease. I want to live a life of freedom. I don't want to be burdened in any way. I want to be blessed. I don't want to hurt. I don't want any problems. I don't want to deal with any challenging people. Keep them away from me. I don't want to be connected in any relationships. I don't want accountability. I don't want to give. I don't want to give them my time. I don't want to be bothered. Don't call me. Just let me come, show up, and go home. I want to live a burden-free life, which is the antithesis. It's the opposite of following Jesus Christ. Hurting for people and caring for others, representing Him, is a big part of our walk with God. My burden is you, and my burden is for me, because my leadership needs to create the right spiritual culture for all of us to be burdened. And so I'm praying, let your burden ruin you. This is what happened to Isaiah. Isaiah, in chapter 6 of Isaiah, it says, in the year when King Uzziah died, all the people freaked out. Isaiah started seeking God when he died, the King Uzziah died, and in verse 5, of Isaiah 6, he cried out, "Woe to me! Woe to me," I cried. I am what? I am ruined. I am ruined. Say it with me. I am ruined. Isaiah said, I'm messed up. I'm overwhelmed. I'm overcome. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm ruined. Why? For I am a man of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. I'm ruined. I'll never be the same. I'll never, ever be the same. I have seen God, and I forever will be different. Why? Because I've experienced Him. I will never be the same. And the second part, my prayer, number one, let your burden ruin you. Let your burden move you to action. Become so action-oriented that you have to do something about it. Let it move you to action. For example, if you came into the church and said, well, people aren't really friendly here. I'm burdened by that. Guess what? You just became a greeter. Whether it be official or unofficial, you become a greeter. You just got enrolled to be a nice person, to smile, to be friendly, to take initiative and be friendly to others. So you might say, I see these cute, innocent little children around here. We just want them to grow in their faith. We don't ever want to see them slip away from God, develop a love for Jesus and a heart for the church. Who's reaching out to the children? You. You've got the burden. Why do you think you care and maybe the five people around you who are not involved don't? because God blessed you with the burden. Verse 8 of Isaiah 6, Isaiah was so ruined when he heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And what did he say? He said, "Here I am. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Pick me. Select me. My life's not my own anyway. Now that I've seen what I've seen now and know what I know, I can't do what I used to do," Isaiah says. "I have to do now what God calls me to do. Send me, please, pick me, pick me. I'll go because I can't stand it no more. It's all I can stand. I can't stand it anymore. I got to do something about it. I'm ruined in the most beautiful sort of way, in the most beautiful, holy, righteous sort of way, because God has blessed me with a burden and it won't go away. Let him bless you. Let him ruin you. Let it move you to action." So here's my prayer. This is what I've been praying. May God bless you with discomfort at easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships so that you may live deep within your heart. May God bless you with anger at injustice and oppression and exploitation of people so that you can work for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless you with tears to shed for those who suffer from pain and rejection and starvation so that you may reach out your hand to comfort them and turn their pain into joy. May God bless you with enough foolishness to believe that you can make a difference in this world so that you can do what others claim cannot be done. May God bless you with a burden to represent him and to make a difference. Let's pray together. Would you stand with me, please? Father, thank you for your presence, your goodness, and the blessings that you give to us. Lord, I am thankful for those blessings that bring ease and bring comfort and bring a sense of rest. I'm thankful for food and for shelter. I'm thankful, Lord, for clothing. I'm thankful, Lord, for my family. I'm thankful for my wife. Lord, I'm thankful for my church family. I'm thankful for so many blessings that you have given and granted me. Lord, I pray that you would help me to engage the blessing that you've burdened me with. May you not allow me to ignore it, to shun it, to, Lord, resist it. But I pray that you would help me to become more sensitized to that burden, more passionate, more compassionate. Pray, Lord, that it would move us to action. It would move us to do something about the burden that we have. Oh God, do a good work in our hearts, in our lives. And may, Lord, we be able to come to that place where we can't stand it. We can't stand it anymore. We must do something about it. Lord, pray that you would give us all in your unique way and how you have designed us and how you have created us and how you have just wired us, that we, God, would be all about what you would have us to be about. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I wonder if how many of you are here and you may be able to say, God has given me a burden. burden, and I have been trying to carry out that burden and fulfill that burden in my life and in my ministry. I want you to raise your hand and express, yeah, that's how I feel. That's where I'm at. Wonderful. Wonderful. I wonder, as we're here together, that we would be able to engage in that heartfelt openness before the Lord, that He would say, God, I want you to crystallize that burden more deeply and clearly into my heart. May I be overwhelmed with a burden that will propel me and compel me to reach out and be involved in the kingdom of God in some way. I hope that's all of our hearts, that's where we will be. Maybe you're here today you know that you've been burdened. You've been burdened in your heart, but it's not because of a ministry, but you've been burdened because of sin, because of just that distance, that barrier that there is between you and God. It's that weight of sin, and you're here, and what God wants to do is to exchange that burden that you feel for and place that on Him and allow Him then to burden you in a way that will compel you toward something that will produce fruit for God's kingdom. It is because of the burden of sin that Jesus went to the cross. He in His perfection, He in His righteous way, died on the cross that we might be lifted of this burden of sin. And as we come to Him and receive Him by faith, we are able to be lifted from this burden of sin and separation that we feel. God can cleanse us and forgive us and give us a whole new way of life. And ultimately, as you come to know Him, then you begin to grow with a burden that He would like to place on you to make a difference, to fulfill what God has gifted you with. Why don't you exchange that burden with Him here today? If you are here and you need to open your life to Christ, I want to encourage you in that way. But let's allow our hearts to express our love for God.